Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome again to the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage. We are rocking and rolling here. The Lions just traded up to pick number 24 to take the Dallas Cowboys spot. So the hometown team hosting this draft is now on the clock. The pick is in there, so we'll see what the Lions end up doing. We just had another LSU Tiger come off the board and Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver, going to Jacksonville. We also saw LSU getting Malik Nabers, sending him off to the New York Giants, and Jaden Daniels with the second overall pick in the draft going to the Washington Commanders. Looking at some of the players that are best available left for these teams right now in the first round, you got a Terrion Arnold, cornerback from Alabama, center Graham Barton from Duke, the corner out of Iowa, Cooper DeJean, also Jordan Newton from Illinois, the defensive tackle, and Nate Wiggins, a corner out of Clemson. Going to step away and take our news break here on WWL. We'll be back with more of our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Best coverage right after this, coming to you live from Las Cruces, Tex-Mex.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are back here on our WWL Draft Fest coverage here at Las Cruces, Tex-Mex. Another pick coming off the board. The Detroit Lions end up selecting Graham Barton, the center out of Duke. Is that correct? No, I'm sorry. Terrion Arnold, corner.
No, it is. Terrion Arnold.
I'm looking at my best available board. Sorry, guys. It's Terrion Arnold, corner going to the Detroit Lions with the 24th overall pick. They traded up with the Dallas Cowboys to make that selection, so now we're seeing a little bit of a run on some corners.
Yeah, and he was a guy that I thought might go a little bit higher, a physical guy, real smart. Nick trusts certain people to make adjustments in the secondary. The guy doing that was Terrion Arnold. Man, you talk about a smart guy, and he tries to reroute you, but also hip check you. You know, he kind of puts that hip out and kind of tries to move you a little bit. It's all subtle. Man, that's all Saban, teaching him how to do that. And so he goes to Detroit. in a team with a huge hole
for a corner.
At corner.
Yeah, for corner. I mean, AG gets a cornerback that, you know, probably reminds him of himself a little bit as well, Aaron Glenn. And what's interesting is, you know, you look at that defense overall, that being the Detroit Lions defense, it was a secondary that they needed some help.
Oh, goodness.
I think it was, what, Branch last year that they were able to pick first round and to add another Alabama guy with that pick. And, you know, there was some speculations of them being able to do some other things, maybe trade for a player earlier this year, and that never really happened. So for them to pick a corner right there, I think it's a pretty good pick for them.
I think it's a really good pick for them. Talk about value to get him at 24. Now, you have to make a little maneuver with the Cowboys to do it. But Terrion Arnold, I think, is a guy, Deuce, that I think he can come in and he's going to be a starter.
No,
right
he'll
away.
Start. Yeah, he'll day, he's he, a day
he's
one starter.
Day one starter
yeah, he's a day one starter. I agree with you.
Now going to welcome in Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, who's hanging out at the Saints facility. Been there all day. How's it been going for you, Jeff, with going on in the world of the black and gold?
It's going good. I'm hanging in. How the Tex-Mex going over there?
Yeah, oh, you fantastic. Got your
fill? What? Course. You shouldn't ask that, Jeff. Come on.
I just got to know. I got to live good. Vicariously.
Okay, well
I don't want to brag, but my enchiladas were fantastic.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, and he gobbled that up. Jeff is so fast, man. I almost had to get glasses, man. I was going to catch a spark.
So, Jeff, for you, initial impressions of the Saints pick, I know, hey, third year in a row, I got to give you some kind of award of being right in your mock draft.
Yeah, I got to toot my own horn here. Maybe people should look at my mock draft because this is the third straight year I've gotten the picks right. But, yeah, I had Talia Sifuanga, and, you know, we did four mock drafts. Three of them I picked him. The other one I traded down, so it wasn't really an option. But, yeah, I mean, this is the pick that made sense. I talked to Mike early in the week. You know, this is a guy who can walk in day one and be that kind of road-grading right tackle that the Saints have kind of been desperately needing. You know, and it's a right tackle play, right? You know, you could look at this and say, hey, you want to get a left tackle, figure it out at right tackle, whatever. With Ryan Ramczyk's situation, I always kind of saw the right tackle position as a major need and one that you can figure something out with Trevor Penning, but you needed a body there, and you have to go in kind of feeling like, hey, we don't know what we're going to get out of Ryan Ramczyk. So we have to operate as if he's not going to be there, because what if he's not, right? And, you know, we chatted with Taliese here for about 20 minutes. He's very affable, right? He's a funny guy. You know, he was asked about, you know, how does he kind of fulfill that kind of nastiness that you need as a blocker, and he said that he channels his inner Bobby Boucher, the water boy. And I'm still not sure if he realizes that Bobby Boucher is basically a Louisiana celebrity. He's like a Rocky. But it is kind of funny, and you can kind of see that in his play. Like, he's not a, you know, he's not a guy that you would kind of meet and be like, oh, he's this mean, angry blocker. But then you see him on the field, and there is kind of this flip that switches. We saw him at the Senior Bowl. I got a chance to talk to him at the Senior Bowl. He was a guy that made a lot of sense to me then. So I really like the pick, obviously, considering it was my mock draft pick. I think they got the guy I don't know if they got necessarily the top target, but they got the guy they needed, and that's probably the most important thing.
Well, Jeff, you mentioned the Senior Bowl. This team keeps dipping into that well very often. It seems to be a breeding ground for Saints talent.
Oh, no question. No question. And I mean, who knows? To see, it's hard to say that he's going to be the only Senior Bowl guy they take, right? There's so many options that you could look at. Xavier Leggett's still on the board. He could be an option at 45. But no, I mean, this just makes a lot of sense. You know, it's kind of funny. We talked to him. He watched the draft in Oahu, right, with 100 family and friends all around him. And we're talking about, oh, are you going to be ready for the Louisiana Heat? And he said, yeah, I have an idea, because he trained with Brian Thomas Jr., who just got picked by the Jaguars, prior to the combine. So there's some Louisiana connections going on there. And, you know, I just think at the end of the day, there were things you needed to get out of this draft if you're the Saints. And it got there in a very weird way. It's the first time ever you've seen 14 straight offensive players come off the board. The Saints got the 14th one. And I think they kind of lucked out in terms of, you know, the Falcons doing crazy things and taking Michael Penix at number 8. You know, that pushes a tackle down the board. Sean Payton did him a favor and didn't take one of these tackles. I think this worked out the way it needed to for the Saints, for sure.
Jeff, looking at the position, obviously was one of need for this black and gold squad. You mentioned, I'm not sure if it was their top target, but definitely somebody that was on their board very high. You look at also the pick of Byron Murphy going to the Seattle Seahawks. I thought that would be someone of interest for this team, mentioning, you know, beefing up the trenches. Overall, though, what do you think the general consensus is over there with the Saints media on this pick? I know sometimes everyone's either all in favor or against something, but it seems to me this is one of those picks I think it's hard to find anything wrong with when the Saints grabbing Fuaga.
Well, you know, it's tough because you put yourself in a situation where this kind of had to be the pick, right? And in another year where you didn't have these desperate needs at tackle, who's to say you aren't looking at the defensive board and saying, we can get the top defensive player we have graded, right? There was not a single defensive player that came off the board prior to 14, but the tackle was there, so you took the tackle, and you're going to be happy about the tackle. But, you know, it is tough. You look at guys like Dallas Turner, Quinyon Mitchell. I don't think cornerback was really ever in play, but Quinyon Mitchell is a guy who should have gone in the top 10, right? Byron Murphy is a guy who should have gone in the top 10. Leitu Latu is a guy who probably should have been up there in the top 15, right? Or I guess he did go 15th behind the Saints. So, you know, it is frustrating because there are so many potential impact players that you kind of had to bypass. And, you know, they got to 14, and, you know, Ian Rappaport obviously tweeted they were listening to trade offers, and it does get intriguing, right? Because any team that's sitting back there saying, oh, we want this guy, all these defensive players on the board, you know, that would be an attractive place to move up to. It doesn't sound like they found the offer that they were looking for, but you know, it's going to be an interesting draft to look back at in 3-4 years, because that's how long it takes to really evaluate these drafts. And I think there are teams in the back half of the first round who are stealing, straight up stealing Pro Bowlers. You know, Terrion Arnold in the 20s. That's crazy. You know, Brian Thomas Jr., I think, is a guy we're going to look at kind of like a Justin Jefferson in 4 or 5 years and say, how did he get to the 20s? Like, we're going to redraft this draft in 5 years, and he's going to be a top 10 pick, maybe a top 5 pick. But that's just how it worked out this year with all the quarterbacks, with all the tackles. Brock Bowers even going off to the Raiders. That was kind of a bizarre one to me. It's weird when you take a tight end, you don't really have a quarterback. You know, the situation in Atlanta is going to be fascinating to see how that plays out, because I don't know if Kirk Cousins was particularly thrilled about the decision to take Michael Penix. But no, I don't think it's hard to be overly critical of this pick based on the need, based on the value, based on where you're able to get them. You didn't have to over leverage your assets. I think if there's anything that you're happy about, more so than just saying, hey, we needed a tackle, we got a tackle, is the Saints didn't have to give up anything extra to go get them, right? Because you looked at how the board was developing when J.C. Latham went off at number 7. It was like, ooh, if there's a quick run on tackles here, you might be kind of left out in the cold, and your only option is to ship out future picks or, you know, the 45 or whatever to go up to 10 or 11. You didn't have to do that. You still got your guy. That's a win, in my opinion.
And they didn't have to, if they were even thinking about, let's, you know, moving back. Well, Cincinnati takes Mims at 18, and Pittsburgh right. goes tackle at 20. So there was really – you couldn't feel good about maybe moving back a couple of spots, because there's just too many – you might not get your guy, right? And you said, I think you're right. They just they got some help, you know, in that 9, 10, 11 – you know, 12, 13 area.
With the quarterbacks.
With right, quarterback, yeah. Penix and yeah. Nix.
And both
and,
going.
You know, Odunze going, but he was probably going to go. So, yeah, I think you're right. They they kind of – it ended up how they thought it would. It just – the route they got there was probably not the route they thought it would be.
Jeff, at least they got the F guy. Okay, how
they
many
did.
Times we talk
they
about
got an F guy.
It was one of the F guys.
Why are y'all so happy about it? I don't like that.
well, we're not calling games.
You and I have to try to say it.
That's I know. I mean, I thought we had it, and I was actually kind of teasing with him. I said, just pronounce your name. And I was like, whoa, we weren't close.
That's all the way wrong.
See, I've been trying to tell you guys, because I asked him this at the Senior Bowl. You know, it was funny because I sought him out. Because this is a guy from day one that I was like, this makes a whole lot of sense. And so I sought him out at the Senior Bowl. One of the questions I had for him, tell me how you pronounce your name. So that's been my advantage. Now, Olu Fashanu, I just learned how to say that correctly like 3 days ago. So I've been saying his name incorrectly the entire time. But I've had this one since day one. Basically, you just add an N. That's really all you got to do is Fuaga. You know, it's kind of rolls up the tongue once you get it going. Taliese
was crazy at the combine. They said it wrong too.
Oh, everyone's been saying it.
It
wrong.
Was Taliese.
Everybody was saying it wrong.
Huaga.
It's not even really right. I don't think it doesn't look right in the Oregon State media guy.
It doesn't.
I'm like,
they don't give you no
help.
You
had this guy for 3 years. What were you doing?
Well, I think it's like at a certain point, you just have heard the wrong pronunciation so many times. You're like, whatever, it's close enough. Like he just doesn't strike me as a guy who really cares about that much. The interesting thing that he brought up is this was a surprise. He did not necessarily see this coming.
Yes.
He was not a top 30 for the Saints. They obviously got a good look for him at the Senior Bowl, so there wasn't a lack of scouting, a lack of data points. He was at
in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Graham Barton, center, Duke.
Okay, how shocking, another offensive lineman.
Well,
now,
I mean,
here's my thing with Tampa. I stick him at center.
Well, yeah, that's what I was about to say. They needed a center.
They've never been the same since that vet center tore up his knee.
Tore his ACL
and could not come back from it. He went through so many surgeries. Man, if I'm Baker Mayfield,
thank you.
Saying the no Venus tonight. Thank you. Got me Graham Barton.
And, Steve, you're only a pick early.
What you mean?
You announced Graham Barton to pick early. Anyway,
oh,
don't worry
yeah,
about
right,
it.
Exactly. I was looking at best available, yeah, but he ends up going now to Tampa Bay. And you know what? We haven't heard from the NFC South in a while. Obviously,
I know.
Carolina, no picks in the
right,
first
pick tomorrow.
You know, the crazy thing with Graham.
And they have two.
Is 18-year-old. He had never played center before. The top two centers go down. Hey, kid, you want to learn how to play center?
Come
get
snap.
In there. He started six games to end the season at Duke at center. You want to know how many sacks he gave up? One. Then he started 3 years at left tackle. Now, my thing is, good gracious, you're talking about an 18-year-old walking off a high school campus and you starting at a center position you've never played before. Shows you one thing. He's smart.
Well, I was
and
about to
man,
say, he's at Duke, so he should be a pretty sharp guy.
He got it, and that impressed me so much. That he could adjust that quickly as an 18-year-old.
Hey, Jeff, I wanted to go back to what you were talking about before Tampa came in, which was stunning to me that Taliese, the phone
Taliese.
Rang. I mean, Taliese. Oh, God.
Taliese.
You'll get it.
And so the phone rang, and he looked at his agent like, should I pick it up?
I'm
like, are you kidding me?
Right.
You know, I mean, because that's how surprised
he
was.
Well, he thought it was spam. That's what it was.
He saw 504. What is that?
That's how surprised he was.
Is that in the United States, 504? You know, because, I mean, okay, you West Coast guy, Hawaii, Oregon, 504, where the hell is that?
Right.
But it goes to show you, and I told a prospect this yesterday, all this stuff about, I met with a certain team, I said, I'm going to tell you right now.
Smoke and mirrors.
That a lot of times does not work out. That, okay, you just heard him when he came on with us. His deal is, well, I saw him at the Senior Bowl, a little bit at the Combine. That was it.
Yeah, and Jeff, I think it is kind of telling of, you know, when I say, I don't know if maybe he wasn't their top target in terms of a tackle, but when we talked to Mickey earlier today, right, he said, you know, there are 14 guys we love in this draft. And that's not always the case when you draft at 14. You might not have 14 guys that you love in this draft. You might have 12. You might have 10, and you got to make a move. I think this is just a case where, you know, you don't know how it's going to shape out. Deuce, you were talking about this. You don't know how it's going to shape out until you get there. And so, yeah, maybe you didn't take as much time as some of the other guys, but this is a guy you scouted, this is a guy you really like, and this is a guy you ended up with because you kind of held serve and did the sensible thing, which was fill a need and take – your top target that's still available.
And I think he's a starter day one.
I agree.
I think he's a starter day one.
Jeff, you've been rocking and rolling with these mock drafts. Like I said, you had Fuanga, and last year you had the Saints' first two picks with Brzee and Isaiah Foskey. So who you got tomorrow, number 45 for this team?
Keon Coleman, baby, if he's still on the board. I like it. I think wide receiver is in need
for
this
team. I know where he grew up at.
I don't think he's going to be on the board.
I agree, but I also didn't think Fuanga was going to be on the board.
I know where he's from.
I think that he will be gone. I am thinking that they trade down maybe a couple picks to pick up an extra pick.
And, guys, the Arizona Cardinals have just selected, man, a guy I really like, Darius Robinson, defensive end, defensive tackle from Missouri. Deuce, my comparison to him, Wayne Martin.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks just like Wayne. And Wayne was a kind of multi-position guy also. He played defensive end and defensive tackle at Arkansas. So, man, the Cardinals, to come up with Darius Robinson, he's a favorite of mine in this draft class.
Thanks again, Jeff, for joining us, and I'll be talking to you again tomorrow from the Saints facility.
Sounds good, y'all. Have a marg on me.
We'll definitely try. Going to take a break. Be back with more of the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage right after this from Las Cruces Tex-Mex on WWL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Some more wheeling and dealing late in the NFL draft. The Kansas City Chiefs have jumped up from 32 to 28 and are on the clock. No, the pick is in for KC. What are the chances here, Mike, that it's a wide receiver?
Well, that's what you got a big glaring need there, don't you?
Absolutely.
And you don't know about it.
They still won the Super Bowl, but it was still a need.
Yeah, but, man, Rashee Rice, he bailed you out late in the year. And now, man, he's facing some time off, so to speak, from the NFL. So, to me, this would seem they have targeted a certain receiver. Man, you can't go back-to-back years and not give Mahomes some weapons out on the edge. Can't do it. You got to get
gotten away with it. More than gotten away with it, really.
And their defense bailed them out.
Right.
To be honest, hey, man, Chris Jones, you think about – impact that dude had.
Well, from a receiver standpoint, a guy for them would be, Worthy. What's the Texas kid?
Oh, Xavier Worthy.
Xavier Worthy, well, fastest dude.
Yeah, either you're talking about a guy like that, if you want to go a big physical receiver.
Or A.D. Mitchell or Keon Coleman.
Yeah, any of those three would be a good pickup for the Chiefs, and I am thrilled. If I'm any of those three receivers as well.
Right. I get to play with Patrick Mahomes?
That's exactly right. Right.
Man, what?
That's exactly right.
Punch my ticket. I'm ready to go.
Are you looking for really a burner here? Or would you consider like a Xavier Legette?
Well, I think that
Xavier also is in that mix.
Xavier Legette or a big body guy, either or would work out well. I mean, but I agree with you guys. They've got to try to get a weapon at least for him.
You can't go through another year like this. In Kansas City.
No.
And limit him.
Super Bowl champs? I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But offensively.
Yeah, right. I mean, but it was.
Your defense bailed you.
For sure.
No matter what, your defense bailed you out of a lot of games. Now, Mahomes is Mahomes.
Lest we forget, we shall be in Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, taking on the Chiefs as well as in Dallas, as well as in Green Bay.
Yeah, I played in Arrowhead, and I hope it's in September when we go.
Well, there's that and Green Bay.
I hope it's September.
Me too.
I don't care if it's back-to-back weekends. Let me go in September to both of them.
I know Hebert told me that's the loudest place I've ever played in
loud.
My life.
He it was
said, Mike, I ain't kidding you. It's the loudest place I've ever played in.
Yeah,
in Arrowhead.
And the one thing you smell is the barbecue.
Oh, yeah. That's a sniff out.
So I guess obviously then, KC, the decibels are up there like with the Seattle and the Superdome.
Yeah, the way the stadium is built, too.
You're stepping into a bucket. It's like just a bucket down in a bucket, go down, and all the sound just
and it's
on
a little
you.
Bit like Tiger Stadium.
It sits on you.
Because you right smack dab in the middle. That sound coming down on you. It's coming straight down.
Well, at least you can get some good barbecue when you guys go up there for whenever the Saints end up playing.
Well, we're going to find out. So that's the next thing, right? They'll start kind of dripping and drabbing some of the international games.
Right.
And then really the next – yeah.
May.
Yeah.
It's next month.
Yeah.
Next month.
So, but one day will be Mexico. One day will be London.
They already announced the Brazil game.
Yeah.
So.
Well, now this
– yeah. Do you think
you want to go
to the Saints?
We will go. Have to go. It's either Brazil
eventually,
or France.
Eventually.
I mean, we'll be on the docket for, I think, within the next 2 years.
Oh, no question.
For another international game.
You called the deuce. The Chiefs trade up and take the fastest player at the in combine history. Xavier Worthy going to Kansas City at pick 28. So Pat Mahomes is a little bit happier tonight.
Man, all I know is, that's all they need. The fastest dude. They had him, the fastest dude in pro football.
Cheetah 2 now.
And, oh, yeah. But Cheetah didn't run that 40-yard line.
Cheetah was running, but Cheetah not running like that. I mean, he's a small guy, but trust me, he's got some get out to him.
Now, he's awfully small.
Yeah, he's a small guy.
He's an awfully thin guy. And, man, you just see the speed with him. And you better get your hands on him and reroute him in quickly, because he's going to beat you deep. And one thing with Andy, I think it gets underrated of how good he comes up with the scheme to fit the player. I think he does that as well as anybody. He sort of readjusts. He readjusted without Tyreek Hill, and now he can sort of go back to the same thing now with Xavier Worthy.
Well, my deal is, you know, you look at him, he's just shy of 6 feet. The problem is the 165.
That bothers me.
Yeah, that's the deal. I mean, because you know he's not going to be going across the middle a lot. But if it is, it's going to be post routes. And, you know, if he's running a dig or a square in, you're catching it and you're getting down. I mean, he's getting down right away because, I mean, the explosiveness that he has, the ability to get in and out of cuts with just the top end speed. Because here's the thing: how do you guard Kelce? How do you guard Travis? Normally, it's always roll of safety to him.
Yep.
But now, if I've got that type of speed,
I can't
on the
do
other
that.
Side, I cannot do that because now that corner is going to be in a one-on-one matchup.
And the first time that corner is going to get a whiff of that speed.
He's playing. That corner's going to probably play about 7-8 yards off.
yeah, I would definitely.
Yeah,
but I think what you brought up is why he's lasted this long is because of the weight.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a guy, he's never going to put on much.
He won't be a guy that, okay, he's 165. He won't put on 15 pounds to get to 180.
He might play 170.
What about, did he do any returning at Texas?
He did a little bit of it.
I mean, but, Mike, if he's that light, I don't know if I
want
him.
And I don't want him.
Yeah, I don't want him.
I mean, what's Shaheed? Shaheed's, you know.
And what has Shaheed's problem been the last couple of years, too?
Injuries. That's why I told you we need another return man.
Well, most teams are going to need two. I don't know if you want to put one back there. Coach Rizzi said, you know, you can do one or you can do two, but then they kick away from one of them. And if you put two, they'll kick away from Shaheed. You need that second person.
Well, hey, I don't mind them kicking away from him because it's the threat of.
Yes.
It's the threat of him being back there. The problem becomes when you're not breaking any of those kickoffs, every kickoff you take, if it's not going out of the end zone, it's another hit on his body. And if he only weighing 170 pounds, you know, soaking wet, that body ain't got –
No, I'm with you.
In it.
That's a big difference in the kickoffs is that you didn't return a lot. You wanted them to, but it's also the punishment of the body.
That's why it is this rule change has affected how you're going to pick people in the later rounds.
Well,
on coverage and also return.
Who's playing?
Playing.
Who's playing on the field, and why you pick them? This is exactly what we said.
And we were talking about Cowboys, Tyler Guyton, who's kind of the last of the tackles that we talked about going in round one. Went to Oklahoma. He started out at TCU.
And he's a Texas kid.
Texas kid. Here's the crazy thing with Tyler. At TCU, man, I told this to Sonny. Why you got him playing H-back? H-back. That's what Tyler played a little bit at TCU. He transferred to Oklahoma, he became right tackle.
So Mike, that's what I was going to ask you right now. With them, with Tyler Guyton being the tackle and them letting go of
Tyron Smith,
what do you do at left tackle? Do you kick out? Do you kick out your other first rounder
from Memphis?
From Tulsa.
Yes.
Yeah, from Tulsa.
You might have to put him there. Might have to put
because
him
because he's all pro at left guard. Tyler. I can't even think of his
Smith.
Name. Yeah, Tyler Smith. Yeah. Tyler Smith. Do you put him at left tackle?
You might have to do it, Deuce. You might have to do it.
Yeah, because the Cowboys hadn't spent a lot money-wise, and you know what's interesting? We talk about that CeeDee Lamb deal. They haven't really done anything with the Dak contract either. I thought that Dak would be up for an extension.
Okay, what you going to do with Micah Parsons?
Well, I'm going to pay him. That's what I'm going to do, but I don't want to.
Okay, I don't want to pay him either if I'm Jerry, but I got to do it.
I'm going to pay him. I mean, but I don't want to pay him because we talk about some of those receiver numbers. Ooh-wee.
That's why they going back and trying to sign Ezekiel Elliott.
True. He met with him. He did meet with him.
And I thought he was washed 2 years ago.
Yeah, he met with him. I do know that they do like, I think it's the Florida State. Is it Benson? Florida State tailback.
Yeah, Troy Benson.
Trey Benson. I do know that they like him as well. They took Deuce Vaughn last year. But Deuce is probably more of a third down back. He's a smaller back returner. But I wouldn't be surprised if they do pick a back early, second or third round, that probably dries it up for them signing a guy like Zeke.
The other thing, too, is do the running backs last that long and you get a shot at Jonathan Brooks from Texas?
Possibly.
You know, so
possibly.
How you feel about his rehab, how quickly he can come back? We were talking about it with Steve that back in November, Bobby was, they ain't going to have a running back going round one. I said, man, they got one at Texas. And then it would figure the next week he tears up the ACL, Jonathan Brooks. And I don't know who's recruiting the running backs at Texas, but he's like Brian Hartline at Ohio State.
Oh, you don't know the running? That's, he played at Dallas, played in the league. I'll tell you in 1 second. I can see his face, but he played in the league. He played for the Dallas Cowboys. He is the running back coach at the University of Texas.
Okay, you got Roschon Johnson, who was a third-round pick with Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay, you saw the dude from Atlanta. Okay, you saw what he could do as a player. And now you had the potential of a back-to-back first-round pick guy until he tears up his knee in Jonathan Brooks. So – that's going to be the intrigue tomorrow of when that first running back kind of peels off the board.
Tashard Choice. He's the running back coach over at Texas.
We got I'll put
for a raise for you.
Ravens pick is in. So, yeah, let's wrap it up, man. Ravens at 30. San Francisco at 31, and then because Buffalo and Kansas swap, I guess Buffalo will be 32.
We'll be closing out the first round. So, yeah, three more picks. We're going to take a break with our WWL Draft Fest coverage from Las Cruces, Tex-Mex. We'll be back with the last three picks in this round and hopefully hear from the Saints, Mickey Loomis or Dennis Allen after the draft right here on WWL. Be back right after this. Welcome back into the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage. Steve Geller with Deuce McAllister, Mike Dettillier, Mike Haas, our wall-to-war coverage of the Saints and the NFL Draft here at Las Cruces Tex-Mex behind Planet Fitness on Airline Drive. We just had another pick coming off the board, the Baltimore Ravens taking Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson.
Man,
two more selections left.
That's all they need. No, Nate Wiggins – great speed, recovery ability. But he's as thin as could be. He's maybe 170 pounds soaking wet. And so that's why he lasted to the 30th overall pick. I thought he would be picked maybe more mid-20s, maybe early to mid-20s. But, man, he's thin. But you talk about a guy with speed and recovery ability. Nate Wiggins has got that. But he's awfully, awfully thin. And his body build says at 170-something pounds, he ain't going to get too much heavier.
Any surprise here that he goes over a guy like Cooper DeJean right now?
No,
from
Cooper
Iowa?
DeJean is a guy that is a projection because of the fact he's played corner, but I really think his best shot in the NFL is safety or the big nickel.
Okay.
That because he's a little stiff in the hips and the turn and run ability. He could also help you in the return game, Cooper. He's very good at that. Man, straight line speed, Cooper DeJean can flat out run. It's his breakdown and his ability to twist his hips and go with a guy. He loses a lot in transition.
Looking at some of the guys who are still left, best available players, Mike.
Jackson Powers Johnson for me.
Okay, there's I see Illinois' Jerjon Newton, defensive tackle.
Johnny Newton.
Yep, Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama. You still have it, like we mentioned.
That one is probably a little bit. Kool-Aid, because I think
I didn't have Kool-Aid in round one.
Well, no, I think he was a junior, though, right?
Yeah.
He was a junior that came out, and all the projections coming into the year, he was he was the first corner coming off the board. And so he probably didn't have the year that he wanted to have. And obviously
and the other guy was better.
Yeah, the other guy was better. And it's and it's obviously showing.
Yeah. And so the pick is in for the 49ers. We're just waiting for them to make that selection. This is a team.
So, Mike, I got a question for you. In the 49ers, you've paid your running back. You've paid one of your receivers. You've paid your tight end. You've paid your
Fred Warner.
Your linebacker.
And Nick Bosa.
You've paid Nick. And I'll say you paid your fullback, but his salary is nowhere close.
Yeah.
What do you do with the receiver that's up now?
Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, Brandon Ayuk. What do you do there? Because he wants to be paid. And he wants to be – he's not the $32 million guy, but he's not the 20 either.
Okay, I think you just got your answer. The 49ers have just picked wide receiver Ricky Pearsall from Florida.
Guess what?
You're trading Brandon Ayuk.
You're trading Brandon Ayuk. There's your answer.
I talked to Jaden Daniels, and he was telling me about he played at Arizona State with Ricky Pearsall. They both transferred out.
Oh, wow.
And so Ricky's a guy that
– Well, here the video of him is with Jaden.
Yep. And so, man, his ability to make something after the catch, real strong hands, very good route runner. I think at times he was a little stiff getting into and out of his cut and breaks, but you can see he's gotten so much better, and it's his ability to track the ball away from his body. He does that really well. Now, they're showing tape of him beating an LSU defensive back, but, man, they got plenty of receivers like that that have done that. But Ricky Pearsall, man, he got some mitts on him, and he is a tremendous route runner, and this is the one pick. I thought he'd go in round two. To be honest with you, this is the one pick of the 31 that's a little out of alignment, but I only had 22 first-round picks.
Well,
21 of them have gone. Only one left.
Buffalo trades the pick again. Carolina gets into the first round.
Is another NFC
South that's
team
a receiver.
On the clock.
That's a receiver.
Got to be a receiver.
Got to be a receiver.
And maybe Coleman.
So that pick goes from the Chiefs to the Bills and now the Panthers.
Yep. Yeah, well, the Panthers had the 33 pick, and they're going to make sure that they get their guy because they don't want anybody to be able to pick with Buffalo until Buffalo doesn't make a first-round pick, correct?
Does not.
Interesting.
Does not make a first-round pick.
They shed some of the salary.
I'm a little confused here, guys. Doesn't Carolina have – well, did they have pick number one in round two,
they
right?
Do. Yeah.
Okay, well, they might have got a sniff that Buffalo was going to pick Ricky Pearsall, who they wanted.
Gotcha.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
That might have – listen, sometimes people lie and sometimes they tell you the truth. and on this pick here, they might have got a sniff that Pearsall was the guy they might have wanted. And so, you know, let's make sure we maneuver here.
So looking at the wide receivers that are still left for Carolina, guys, you got Leggett, Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, Akeon Coleman.
Any of the four.
Yeah, huh?
Any of the four.
Yeah, I mean, Carolina's receiving core. Oh,
yeah, Carolina will take any of the four, and he'll come in and be a day one starter for them.
Yeah, because they don't have much of anything in offensive weapons.
They had the old pops, Adam Thielen.
You got Adam Thielen, and you
had a decent season a year ago.
He's
not an explosive guy at all.
You reached on my Ole Miss guy in the second round last year. But you got to get Bryce some help.
Yeah, because he can't go back out there with that receiving core again.
And only Chuba Hubbard, right? We talked to the Carolina guy last night, and he was talking, you know, they're going to get some running back.
Well, I don't see them picking a back here. No.
I agree with you.
And so the thought maybe was, man.
Here it is. This is what the pick was, the trade.
Panthers
also.
So they only swapped a fifth and a sixth. One move.
Carolina is still paying to Miles Sander. They invested in last season, and I still believe he's on the team at least. But man, what a disappointment he was last year for Carolina.
Yeah, the other thing too, Buffalo's receiving core.
Oof, El Stinko, as you would say.
And without Stephon Diggs, you can talk. Okay, he is a bit of a head case, but my thing about it is that dude could play. And so this is to assure yourself of that selection at receiver. Because once Pearsall came off, man, it was a quick trade. Bang.
Xavier Leggett.
It's Leggett, who's from the area, from South Carolina.
He's a Carolina guy.
Nice big target for
he's a big, thickly built guy.
Yep.
He's no small receiver.
Well, he was I was hoping that the Saints would be able to get their hands on.
Yeah, he played a little. They lined him up at tailback.
He ran a lot of the jet sweep stuff there.
Yep.
Because, man, you look at South Carolina, their offensive line was El Lazio. Mm-hmm. It was bad. And, man, they got Spencer Rattler. You talk about rattled. They rattled him. But now Leggett goes to Carolina, gives him a big, thick receiver who can make a play after the catch.
All right, we're going to take a break, guys, step away. When we get back, we're going to wait on Coach Dennis Allen, who's going to be available very soon, coming up to wrap up round one of this NFL draft. Stay tuned right here on WWL Saints Radio. Be right back. We're back into the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage here at Las Cruces Tex-Mex. Steve Geller along with Deuce McAllister, Mike Dettillier, and Mike Haas just awaiting now head coach Dennis Allen. He's going to address the media after the first round of this NFL draft has concluded, the last pick being Xavier Leggett, wide receiver from South Carolina, going to the Panthers. The Saints at pick number 14 got their offensive tackle,
Talisi Fuanga.
Offensive tackle. Fuanga. I'm going to be practicing the first name. The last one I think I got easily.
Taliese. Okay, we're going to get it right somewhere along
somewhere,
the line.
Taliese.
Here's my deal. Taliese. Guys, this shattered the record.
All right. Look, excited about what we were able to get accomplished tonight. I think, a lot of times you get into these drafts and sometimes a position of need and best available player don't always match up. We felt like tonight was a great situation for us, and that we felt like, offensive tackle was a position of need for us. And we felt like we had a really good player on the board that was available to us at that point in time. And so, and yet I think that was something that we kind of knew going into the draft that, that it was a pretty deep group of offensive tackles. And so we felt good. There's a handful of guys that we felt, really good about as potentials at that pick. So really excited about Taliese. I think he's big, he's athletic, he's extremely physical. I think he I think he's a culture builder type personality. I think obviously we liked what we saw on the tape. And then we sat down and had an interview with him at the combine and really fell in love with him because we just felt like he was our type of person.
Does his experience, like in the wide zone scheme, does that make it easy to kind of project how he would fit into this?
I think every team to some extent runs a version of the wide zone, and look, there's a lot of teams in college football that are running, zone scheme blocking. So, but obviously we were able to see him do it. And I just think he's a tough physical player. And I think that's something that, that's what we want to be as a football team. And I think, if you want to be that as a football team, it kind of starts up front with your offensive and defensive lines. And I think he'll bring that demeanor to our group.
Obviously. Did the tackles kind of play out the way you thought they would ahead of you?
You never really know how it's going to play out. And like I said, there was a handful of guys that we really liked. We felt like they were all very comparable and very close in terms of talent level. And so they were all graded, pretty closely. And so we felt like there was a good chance that, we'd have one or two of them looking at us at 14. And obviously with six quarterbacks going off the board, it pushed a couple other position players down to us. So I think we were fortunate in that regard.
Do you envision him on the left side, the right side, kind of two?
Yeah, look, I think this. I think, look, he's an offensive tackle. I know he can play right. I feel very confident that he can go over and play on the left-hand side. I don't think that's a decision that we have to make right now. I think we see how the rest of the draft plays out. I think we see how, there's always a little bit of a free agent period, after the draft where some guys become available. So I think we know he's going to play offensive tackle, and I feel like he's going to be a pretty good one for us.
You don't see him possibly being a guard at this level or being projected as a guard at this level. That obviously doesn't sound like you're...
Yeah, that's not where we're going to start out. Look, I think he can play. Only position that I'm not quite sure whether he plays as center, but I think he can play, either side and have some inside-outside flex.
Dennis, did you guys consider moving back at all?
Well, look, we considered a lot of different things. And yet, you kind of have to see how the draft plays out and what's available to you when you get to your pick. And if your guy's there that you really, really want, it doesn't make a lot of sense to back up. So there was a scenario, that where we potentially could have backed up a spot or two, but that didn't play out.
You mentioned sort of his culture building mentality. What was it about your conversation with him or maybe people around him that...
I think he's kind of a guy's guy. And I think he's got kind of a tough guy demeanor to him. I think that's something that we can use, up front. I mean, I think he was one of the more mature people that we talked to. I mean, I think he's a grown man, and I think that's good for that position.
Obviously, it would be kind of dangerous to say we're going to fill this in the draft, but I mean, did this affect any decisions in free agency, thinking you guys had a pretty good shot at getting a tackle in the draft?
Well, look, I think all those things are factors that you take into account. Obviously, look, with free agency happening before the draft, like, you have no idea what's going to happen in the draft. So, but yet, at the same time, we did feel like, you know, as you go through free agency and you're looking at how you're going to fill out your team, you know, if you didn't feel like there was an offensive tackle, you know, if it wasn't deep in the draft, then we may have been a little bit more aggressive in free agency. But yet, you know, we felt like it was a deep position and didn't feel like we had to force anything, you know, early on in free agency.
Is a defensive guy, were you kind of surprised that first 14 picks were offense? And was there, like, consideration to say, I mean, I know you got your guy, but just kind of a lot of good defensive players were still on the board.
Yeah. Well, look, when you have six quarterbacks go, you know, in the first, what was it, 12 picks or 11 picks, whatever it was, 12 picks I think it was, there's six quarterbacks that come off the board, you know, and we knew it was kind of thought, you know, there's a good chance Bowers might go up there in that area, and we knew there was a lot of offensive linemen that were going to go. So I don't know that I was shocked. And yet, I would say that's a little unusual.
Did you end up with a cloud that had, like, as you were nearing your pick, that had a Bowers and an edge rusher and an offensive tackle? Or, I mean,
I'm not going to get into exactly how the board was, but yet, I mean, Brock Bowers was a consideration for us. And the fact that he got, you know, all the way to pick 13, wasn't it? Right? So. You got all the way to 13, so I mean, you know, there was certainly some discussion going on.
So that, meaning that it wasn't like tunnel vision, like we're going to take the best tackle on our board. Like it certainly, if Fuaga goes 13, it might have ended up differently. Or
absolutely could have. Yeah.
Hey, DA, the other day, Mickey, I think said there were still a couple of musts, maybe on the roster you all needed. I mean, is it fair to characterize tackle? I mean, was this a must for you all?
Yeah, I think it certainly was a must. You know, obviously, you know, Rams' situation is a little bit up in the air. We still feel confident in Trevor Penning, and yet it's still an unproven commodity. You know, so you know, James Hurst retiring, this is something that we kind of expected and knew was coming. And so, look, we knew that was going to be a position that we were going to need to, you know, try to address in the draft. And, you know, fortunate for us, like I said, when we started this, you know, it's not all too often that, you know, the depth of the draft and the position of need really marry up, you know, but this happened to be a year that it married up for us.
What is it about Tally that really makes him versatile to play on both sides of the ball?
What's that?
His ability to play on either side. What about that? His game itself, he's the confidence that he can play right.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, he's a extremely good athlete for his size, and he's got outstanding feet and body control, really good balance, and so, and look, the biggest difference, I don't know that we put nearly as much stock into the left tackle versus the right tackle, you know, so probably the biggest difference is just right-handed stance versus the left-handed stance. But yeah, I see those positions being a lot more similar, because the best pass rushers used to always be on the right-hand side. So it wasn't always about the blind side of the quarterback. It was the best pass rusher. Now, that typically ended up being on the blind side of the quarterback, but the best pass rusher was over there on the right, and so you needed your best protector over there. I don't know that I necessarily see it that way all the time anymore, and, you know, teams are moving, you know, their rushers around and not really lining them up in one spot all the time. So right and left really is probably a little bit overrated in my mind.
Did the uncertainty or the not knowing – or maybe even expecting Ryan Ramczyk not being available, make right tackle even, I mean, maybe that would have affected strategy if you knew Ryan Ramczyk was locked in at right tackle.
Yeah, might have affected in terms of where the initial lineup would be, but I don't know that necessarily, you know, affected any more so the need for a tackle.
Taliese said that it was a bit of a surprise. There wasn't a ton of communication over maybe the last month or so. Is that a product of being comfortable in the scouting early on?
When you identify somebody early on that everybody in your building loves on tape, and then you get a chance to go and see him at the combine and you interview him and you get a chance to talk to him, you feel comfortable with the mental and the learning ability. There's not really, once you feel comfortable with it, it's not like you have to go through a lot longer process. And so, you know, look, a lot of times when you have a clean prospect, you know, there's not a lot of holes that you're trying to fill in the blanks. You know, you're better served spending your time trying to, you know, find out some other things about some other players once you feel like you're pretty confident that you found a guy that fits your culture and what you want to do.
How long did you know that James was going to retire? How much did that further propel the need to get offensive line?
Yeah, I don't know exactly when that was, but we've known for a while that was going to be the case. So that's kind of been, you know, in our plans for a while.
When three tackles go in the first 10 picks, do you start to get nervous as it gets closer, hoping the guy's there? Or?
Well, did you get nervous? yeah, look, I mean, you know, you have guys that you kind of target that you really like and that you think are going to be there for your pick. And, you know, in particular, when they start, you know, taking other guys at that position, you know, I mean, it's kind of the next man up. So, yeah, you get a little bit nervous, but there were some good players on the board. And so did I go into this thinking, hey, there's a good chance we take a tackle at 14 and would feel really good about it? Yes. Did I feel like we had to take a tackle or else? No, because there were some other good players. And so that's how the draft goes. And like I said before, that it just married up for us this year, and it was good.
And you kind of touched upon this before, but 15 minutes is such a short time at the combine to kind of speak to him in an interview. Was there something he said or in that meeting that you really remember?
Yeah, look, I think I just fell in love with the personality. I just fell in love with – I didn't feel like this player was sitting in front of me trying to sell me something that he wasn't. I felt a genuine person. And I just felt like he was a man's man, guy's guy, dude's dude, whatever you want to call it, you know. And I like that, you know. And then when I take that and then I put on the tape and I watch him play and the way that he plays, the physicality with which he plays – I thought it was a pretty good fit.
Is that, I think you call him a tough SOB, is that more in like his run blocking, his passing, where you kind of see that?
I see it in all aspects of his game, yeah.
Is there any aspect of his game that you're hoping maybe he takes, you know, another step forward throughout training camp and everything?
Well, look, I think his physicality is great. You know, I think, look, probably with a lot of these guys, they're probably a little further developed in terms of the run game, you know, so I think still working on his pass protection, but I think he's a pretty polished player. So, look, anybody that we draft has things that they have to work on and things that they have to be better at, but I think he's pretty good in a lot of areas.
This team has obviously never been afraid to trade up, but was there any sense this year that you were hoping – hold out of the picks since you have less capital than usual to work with?
Well, yeah, and yet if a player that you highly covet is in a position that you can go get him and you're maybe concerned that somebody else might be able to get that player before you, I think that's always something that you have to consider. But again, like I kind of said from the outset, you know, we felt like there was going to be a run on receivers, we felt like there was going to be a run on quarterbacks, I didn't think it'd be six, and then we felt like there was going to be, you know, a run on tackles, and we felt like there was a handful of them that we liked. you know, and then you throw in a couple of defensive players that we felt like could go in the top, you know, 10 to 12 picks. You know, we didn't feel like there was a sense that, man, we better go up. And then as you watch the draft happen, you feel a little bit more confident that some of those players are going to be there.
Sort of along the similar lines of that, the scenario you mentioned about trading back, did another team call when you guys were on the clock and present that, or is that something you were just exploring before the board?
Not when we were on the clock, but, you know, shortly before we were going to be on the clock, there were some teams that were looking to potentially move up. And so, you know, and then as we got on the clock, we decided we're going to sit here and take our pick.
Mickey was saying yesterday or Tuesday that sometimes when you go back that you risk it's like too far back where you would miss the player. What were kind of the offers that you received in that too far back range?
Well, look, yeah, there were some that were pretty close and some that were a little further back. And again, when it got time and we were on the clock and it was ready for us to pick, you know, there's really not any sense screwing around. You got the guy you like. It's in a position of need. You know, let's not overthink this. Let's take the player. And that's what we did.
You, just looking ahead to tomorrow, I think a few years ago, Mickey said that he felt like there was like a top 20 and then there was like 20 through 50 grouping, picking at 45. Do you feel like there's still a lot of really good players that you all be able to potentially get, you know, tomorrow?
Yeah, look, well, obviously, you know, when I get done here, we'll go up and kind of look at the board a little bit more, and we'll do a little bit of that tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, I think we got 13th pick tomorrow, so there's going to be 12 players that are going to go off the board before we get an opportunity to pick unless we do something. So we'll see where that's at. But there's some good players still left.
And I had a follow-up question. You referenced it a couple of times. You've been doing this a long time. Is there a moment on any team that you kind of all look at each other and go, wow, I can't believe that happened? If you want to read between the lines on that, you can.
Yeah, look, there's always picks that are kind of surprising to you. But I think I just focus a little bit more on what we need to do and how we need to improve our team.
Atlanta will make things interesting for you as a defensive coach, scouting two new quarterbacks on their team this year.
Yeah, look, I mean, we'll see how that goes, but I don't think that's anything that's kind of uncommon. I mean, we've seen that, you know, throughout the league. You have a quarterback and you draft a young guy and give him an opportunity to come in and sit and develop. So nothing really shocks me too much.
Dennis, I'm sure that you're drafting a guy at 14th overall. There's a lot of tape you like a player, but is there anything in particular that just really stood out?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to say a particular game, but I mean, I've said this. I just think, like, his play temperament, the toughness and the violence that he plays the game at, that really caught my eye. And being able to do that at a high level of competition, I thought was impressive. And then you go and look, here's a guy that knows he's going to be, call it a top 15, top 20 tackle. And he goes to the Senior Bowl and competes in the Senior Bowl. That doesn't happen very often. But that tells me a lot about the player and his willingness to go out and compete regardless of the circumstances. So that was impressive to me.
When you guys take Penning a few years ago and take a tackle there, he doesn't, acknowledging that his development, so like it doesn't maybe pan out the way that you guys want. Is there anything that you use from that process to inform you looking for a tackle this time around, or is there anything that you take from that?
Look, you're always evaluating, you know, what you did well, what you didn't do well. And look, I'm at a position right now with Trevor Penning where I'm excited about seeing where he can go. I'm not worried about, you know, where he's at right now. I'm thinking about where he can be, and I think this guy is a very talented player. I think he can be a really good player in our league. And I think he's been slowed by some development and injuries. There's obviously things that you learn, but I'm at a point right now where I feel like this guy's still I'm still excited about the prospect.
Yeah, I guess I just mean, like, when you're looking at Fuaga, like, you hear this notion of, like, Fuaga specifically being, like, a plug-and-play tackle, but you could also look at the scouting report, sort of the analysis and penning at the time.
I think each one of these are different situations. You know, you got a guy that played in the Power 5 conference versus a small school guy. There's more development that happens in that type of area. So I think each one's, you know, kind of a totally different situation.
Yeah, I know you're still in the middle of it, but what's the draft process been like with the new offensive staff? I mean, has it been stimulating to some degree or invigorating in any way with new ideas and fresh kind of way of looking at things?
Yeah, it has been. I mean, the process itself hasn't changed. But obviously, you know, new scheme, kind of new philosophy. And so with that, maybe comes a little bit of a change in the type of player that you're looking for. So that's been, it's been good to go through that process. You know, obviously, look, there's a learning curve that goes along with this. Like, I listen to and hear what these coaches have to say in terms of players, and yet I don't know exactly where they're at as evaluators until you kind of go through the process and you start to learn as you go through. And obviously we're biased, so the more they see it the same way I do, the more I think they're a better evaluator, and vice versa, I guess. So. I think it's been fun. It's been exciting to see these guys come in, the way they've worked, the way they've really tried to be detailed in everything that they're doing. And, I can't wait. We're going to start football school on Monday, so it'll be really kind of the first time that we've really had an opportunity really to meet with the players and kind of get into the schematics of what we're going to do.
There were some early kind of critical evaluations of Fuaga based on his arm length. And I'm just curious about how much stock do you really put in something like that when it's a reasonable disparity from what the ideal prototype might be?
I would say he's not as short lengthwise as maybe the way you're describing it to me. I don't know what, I mean, obviously, look, anybody can use whatever prototypes they want to use. We've got our standards that we think, is prototype in our league. And yeah, his arms are a little shorter than maybe we would like. So if we want to punch a hole, let's punch that hole. But yet, there's good players that maybe don't have quite the length. And so I didn't see that. There's times where you watch it and you say you see it on tape and you see where it's a problem. And then there's times where you're like, I don't really think that's, a factor. And look, all these players have things that, you know, negatives, I'll call them, right? But it's like, can they overcome those deficiencies? And he's certainly been able to do it.
Just to be clear, too, when you mentioned that there are times where you watch it and you can see it, and there are times where you watch it and you don't necessarily see it, are you saying that there's times on?
I'm saying more or less when I'm watching players, mm-hmm. and you see a lack of length show up, mm-hmm. not this player in particular, I would say I don't really see it show up as much on his tape. All good? All right. Thanks, guys.
Indianapolis Saints head coach Dennis Allen. You heard after the first round of action in the NFL draft, the Saints have their man, the offensive tackle. You heard him talking about Talisi Fuanga, definitely a guy that they had pegged. And you heard him, though, mention Brock Bowers was a consideration with that pick at 14.
Yeah, I would have considered that myself. man, listen, Brock is he's unique. He's a unicorn-type player. And so, yeah, you got to consider that, and he got picked, you know, right in front of you. But you got yourself a starting right tackle. That's where he's played basically all his career. He's played on the right side. He's a power player, strong side guy. So we ain't trying to reinvent the wheel here with him. And the big difference with him and Penning is a lot more experience as a pass protector and a much better technician as a pass blocker.
Mike, I have to disagree with you on that part as far as reinventing the wheel, because if you listen to him, he says they're not afraid to play him inside or on the left side. Now, does that make sense? And does that make him comfortable?
Don't make no sense to me.
Well,
I play him on the right. That's where he's comfortable.
If Ryan Ramczyk is available, what do you do with him?
Okay, I got to see which Ryan Ramczyk I get.
Okay.
At this stage. Deuce, do you really think that he could be even 75% even if he comes back at a Ramczyk that we saw before?
I don't think so. Here's the thing that I know. This is the first time that he's had the procedure. Every time else over the last couple of years, it's been a rest situation.
Man.
You're talking to a guy that has had
I know you've had it.
So
the first one was more difficult because you had never been through it, correct?
Correct. And it's the uncertainty.
Yeah.
It's the uncertainty, and so it's going to take some time for him. I can tell him that.
Okay, how old were you first time you had yours?
24, 25.
How old Ryan?
He ain't old, but he
ain't
young.
He ain't young either.
He ain't old, but he ain't young. I mean, but at the end of the day, I get exactly. I want to make the kid comfortable.
Exactly.
I want to make the young player comfortable. And if he's not comfortable, it doesn't make sense to throw him where he's not comfortable. But if you do get Ramczyk back and you want to make your best five available, he's one of your best five.
Guys, looking at the draft heading into tomorrow, obviously the Saints have just one pick currently, number 45. Who are some guys that are still on this draft board that you would have interest in that could be around for this team to select? Or at least, if not a name, maybe a position that you really are targeting right now.
Wide receiver.
Going after that wide receiver, huh?
Got a bunch of them.
Wide receiver.
Got a bunch of them left. A.D. Mitchell from Texas is still there. Keon Coleman still there. Will they be there when you pick?
Correct.
Right?
And that's the question. And that's what I was about to say, Mike. If I can find someone that can give me a third rounder and I can move back.
I do it.
10 spots. I might even move back, willing to be move back 15 spots. You know, I may do it. I may miss out on a top-tier receiver or at least a tier-two receiver. But right now, you don't have a third.
Or fourth.
Well, you're gonna
I think they're going to maneuver that.
Yeah, they're going to maneuver
I think they're
going to
get back in the
fifth. Yeah,
I
some of them 19 picks in the fifth round.
Four fives, two sixes, and a seven.
To be able to get in the fourth. Now, it may not be high four, but you'll get middle round four. So if they can get a third, figure out a way to add a third, what I don't want to see them do, because we think that you'll get, what is it, compensatory next year. I don't want to see them trade a 2025 pick.
No, right? I don't like that.
Well, to be able to get a third next year, that would be tough to see. But, you know, we'll worry about those things in the morning.
You know, a sneaky position, and you think about talent depth, safety.
Well, safety. Here's the other thing I was going to say. Can you continue to get fast on defense?
Yep.
You got to get speed.
Right.
That was one of the things that popped on the tape. It's like, man. You got old.
And
you
fast.
You got slow.
I mentioned the defensive tackle earlier. A guy also still out there, Florida State, Fisk.
Braden from, Fisk.
Yes. Curious.
Chris Jenkins.
Could be a guy that, you know,
interested
in.
Chris Jenkins
is dad. I like both of them. I played against Chris Jenkins.
You played against Chris. Yeah.
Yeah, I played against his dad. I like both of those guys.
Well, guys, I want to thank the good folks here at Las Cruces Tex-Mex.
Man, they
it was an awesome time.
It's a cool place, man. Really, I've never been
great
here.
Great place.
Man, tough we look forward to coming back.
Man, we finna get kicked out another bar, man. Y'all ain't here. We already got through our.
We the last ones
ain't
here.
My first time.
Well, yeah, you right. You
ain't
right.
My first time.
So if we sit here any longer, that train gonna come back through.
Yeah,
train
and I think
blowing.
That train will be taking us out of here.
Nah, but they've been fantastic. It's a great place. If you hadn't been by, come by and hang out. They've got a little outside patio area that is fantastic, and it rocks, and the service is really, really good.
And
also,
and they even got place for the kids. If you got kids that can come, they can play around on here. So it is a great place family-wise to come here, and the food is fantastic. And, again, if you won't come outside, and, you know, sometimes little kids, you know, they get itchy. They don't want to sit down.
What do they call it, Mike? It's the ambiance.
The ambiance.
Something like that. Something like that. Man,
tomorrow, the ambiance is going to be orange.
It's a different ambiance there.
Yeah, that's
there you go. Like Hoss was teasing there, our coverage of round two and three will start tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Draft First Take. St. Sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, along with our Swiss Army Knife, Charlie Long. Then at 6 o'clock, the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest. We'll continue live from Hooters on Vets in Metairie. You can hear every pick as it happened, all pro and analysis and our exclusive interviews with all the Saints players. Hang out with us, Saints Deuce legend Luce McAllister, Mike Dettillier, hey. Mike Haas, and myself, Steve Geller, will be there 6 to 11 at Hooters in
Metairie. You got that Dilberto. Yeah, you got that Dilberto tongue at
you
the
getting
end.
Delusional over there,
Luce,
man.
Luce McAllister.
Luce McAllister. That's a new one to add. Even Buddy didn't even do that.
We're going to get Luce even more tomorrow.
All right.
We have 23 offensive players picked in round two.
Wow.
Had 23 offensive players going round one. Shattered that record.
11 SEC.
Man. Mm.
Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. We'll talk to you tomorrow with more of WWL Draft Press coverage. Who dat? Have a great night, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.